It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Trump proves that he really does like reality TV shows. He has the whole country playing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Assuming that Carmen Sandiego is a four-year-old Honduran girl fleeing for her life and ripped from her mother's arms by U.S. Border Control agents. Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Welcome, in fact, to the last Forward Nation Radio 2.0. No, don't get scared. We're still going forward. In fact, we're going forward with Forward Nation Radio starting next week, 3.0, because that's just the way we number things these days. A superior audio podcast based on the idea that this is a face made for radio. You will still see images. We will not be live streaming me. We will be having enhanced audio and video content. And with the audio, you can take us on the go on iTunes or Podbean. So look forward to Forward Nation Radio 3.0 next week. And to honor the last Forward Nation Radio 2.0, we're going to have a special two-hour show today. Now, our listeners, you already know how long the show is because you looked at it on your device. However, we do now need to resuscitate the entire staff here. No, that was a joke. I wanted to get a chance to make a joke in this show because there's really nothing funny to report at this point. Sorry, this show is going to be an unrelenting downer because, you know, it reflects life. Anyway, two main topics on our show this week: the United States Supreme Court, a recent addition to our main topics, but we also wanted to discuss civility and the aftermath of the whole, or still going on, of the imbroglio regarding ripping immigrant children from their parents and then losing them in America. But first, briefly in the news, one thing that some of us have going for us is that the Obama economy might become the Trump economy before the next elections. Because of the way the economy works with a huge lag, Donald Trump has been benefiting from what is in effect the Obama economy, an economy resulting from Obama's policies. But now Trump's brazen efforts to screw up the economy are already starting to have an impact. Obviously, the latest news this week, Harley-Davidson, among other companies, announcing that they are going to be moving some production overseas because Donald Trump has started a trade war. Something that experts have been warning for a long time does not benefit America. But he's fighting this trade war on false pretenses, so he might as well come up with false results about it anyway. Companies will move abroad to try to avoid retaliatory sanctions by the European Union and others. And, well, what the hell? The tax law already incentivizes companies moving abroad. You may not know that if you haven't been a regular listener to this show. We haven't talked about it for a while. But yes, the Republican Trump tax bill does, in fact, reward companies for moving jobs overseas. This is so blatant that the Wall Street Journal editorial page, the Wall Street Journal editorial page is like Rupert Murdoch's twin sister or something. It is right-wing propaganda. And yet it was moved to excoriate Donald Trump for starting a trade war. I guess this is the one policy Trump has picked to advance that doesn't actually promote the Murdoch-Koch brothers agenda. Anyway, moving on to main topic number one, something we have been talking about and warning about for a long time, the United States Supreme Court. And tragically, the United States Supreme Court has been in the news a whole lot the last couple of days. And I mean tragically. The United States Supreme Court has vindicated Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's decision to steal a United States Supreme Court seat. leading McConnell to actually celebrate on Twitter and elsewhere his brazen theft. Kind of like, I don't know, Donald Trump celebrating outside bankruptcy court, stealing from his creditors and his employees. Or, I don't know, Osama bin Laden celebrating 9/11. Only this is an inside job. They stole a Supreme Court seat, and coming up later, they're about to get another. So in a 5-4 decision, the United States Supreme Court upheld Trump's Muslim ban. Oops, I mean travel ban. No, actually, wait, I meant Muslim ban. Right, I meant Muslim ban. It upheld the Muslim ban, which wasn't a Muslim ban. It was actually a travel ban, but, you know, it actually is a Muslim ban. While the United States Solicitor General was arguing in front of the United States Supreme Court and other courts that this was not a Muslim ban, the President of the United States was actually busy tweeting, of course it's a Muslim ban, you know it's a Muslim ban, you know we're going to keep these people out of the country. But that's okay, because the Supreme Court decided to apply a standard, or five members of the United States Supreme Court decided to apply a standard, which is very beneficial for the President. Just talking in one of my classes the last couple of days about different analyses under equal protection and other constitutional analysis by the United States Supreme Court. We talked about strict scrutiny, rational basis, heightened scrutiny. Well, the Supreme Court was deciding not to apply strict scrutiny to Trump's actions. It didn't even bother to apply the easier test of rational basis. A test which has rarely failed, but in this case might have been. Instead, it felt as long as it was facially legitimate, that's okay. In other words, no oversight at all. Let's distinguish this, of course, from the Supreme Court's decision last week in Masterpiece Cake Shop, where it so happened that someone on the Colorado Commission, that was a Civil Rights Commission, I guess, Colorado Civil Rights Commission mentioned something about people have used religion to promote hate. That was enough of an attack on religion to invalidate what the Colorado Supreme Court, what the commission did and what was upheld by the courts. But in this case, we're not going to look so carefully because, after all, this involves Christians. Or doesn't involve Christians, actually. It involves Christians doing it to Muslims. So that's okay. Religious animus is okay when it's not about Christians, apparently. Let's talk about a couple of things regarding this decision. First off, NPR, you know, one of those bastions of the liberal media, talked about the decision analysis that said Kennedy, often the swing vote, sided with the court's conservatives. Wait, Kennedy is not one of the court's conservatives? Now we have moved the bar so dramatically that as long as you are not a downright extremist, you're not called a conservative? Kennedy's one of the moderates, I guess? Swing vote? Let's make no mistake. Kennedy is extremely conservative. He may not be an extremist, but he is very conservative. But liberal media, of course, bends over backwards to be fair, which is a bit of a problem that we already have. Well, the Supreme Court, in its blatantly bigoted decision, took the pains to say that it is overruling the even more blatantly bigoted Korematsu decision, one of the most infamous decisions of the United States Supreme Court, which upheld the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Oh, the Supreme Court took a brave stand, Chief Justice John Roberts did, in saying that Korematsu, which had long been overruled in every reasonable manner other than explicitly by the United States Supreme Court, was overruled and no longer good law. And he decided to celebrate that decision by doing it again, in effect. So what are we going to do next? Overturn Brown v. Board of Education? I probably shouldn't even say that as a joke. I'm sure they've already had the idea, but I don't want to give them any. Trump made perfectly clear that this was about bigotry, and the United States Supreme Court, as the Supreme Court mistakenly did in Korematsu, said, we're not going to care if the administration is lying to us and coming up with a blatant pretext for what is a blatantly bigoted and discriminatory policy, because after all, we're Republicans. So Donald Trump, of course, reacted to this decision by celebrating a victory against extremism. And by extremism, of course, he means Muslims, Islam. He clearly does not mean Nazis, not skinheads, not the KKK or other white supremacists. Although they've been identified by Homeland Security as the true terrorist threat in America, they're not extremists. They're Trump's base. So just this morning, the Supreme Court did more mischief, as we've been saying for a long time it was going to do. It issued its Janus v. AFSCME decision and basically destroyed labor unions in America. Well, for the most part, private sector labor unions had been destroyed for a long time by facts of life, globalization, and laws designed to undermine labor unions and organizing. The last bastion of union activity, workers being able to get some power to combine to collectively bargain for their own interests against the mighty power of large corporations, was in public unions, municipal unions. Well, Janus has just put a stake through that heart. That's the result of this. Let's briefly, so we understand the decision. We had talked about this a long time ago. The decision was coming. But let's talk about it again for recent viewers. Under the law, people are not required to join municipal labor unions. But it has long been settled law and Supreme Court decision that because unions collectively bargain for the benefit of all employees, that all employees should have to at least pay for collective bargaining. In other words, should pay for what they're getting. What a radical idea. People should pay for what they're getting. Well, the United States Supreme Court just said, no, they don't have to do that. In other words, people can choose to be free riders. They can get stuff and not pay for it. When someone comes to them and says, do you want to pay for something that you could otherwise get for free? They could say, wait, what? And they will be helped in this decision by billions of dollars in funding from the Koch brothers and other right-wing groups who have already been spending money creating organizations to lie to unions so that union members, in effect, stab themselves in the back. They've already created something called the State Policy Network, which has been out spreading lies and misinformation to unions. You know, Republicans didn't used to like free riders. When it comes to poor people, they really have a problem with people getting away with a free ride. But as has been perfectly clear for a long time to anyone who's been paying attention, they have no problem with free riders when it's white people, wealthy white people, and when it's people who will end up destroying labor unions for the benefit of Republican donors. Well, also, the anti-abortion decision that came out today. The Supreme Court once again validates misinformation. Go back to all of our discussions on free speech and what trouble we are in this country. That lies spread a hell of a lot faster and are much better supported than the truth. So it is okay, according to the Supreme Court, for anti-abortion healthcare providers to refuse to provide any information, despite the law, about the possibility of abortion for women who might need one. That's okay. So America continues to increasingly flex. Sorry, I was going to come up with that word eventually. America continues to increasingly flex.
So many F words.
That all of which I have to suppress. flex its immature Christian muscle. At the same time, a Catholic country like Ireland says, give me a break. Of course people should be able to get abortions. We continue to move in the wrong direction. And how quickly are we going to move? Viewers, maybe it's my legal background. I've talked about our courts a lot on this show. Maybe it's my legal background and my interests, but mostly I think it's the underreported story of the Trump administration. How much damage they are doing with our court system and how much more damage they are going to be able to do for probably the rest of my lifetime. That's right. And how much damage they're going to be able to do just got a hell of a lot worse, as Justice Anthony Kennedy just announced his retirement from the United States Supreme Court. Yes, so Justice Kennedy's legacy, God knows what's going on there. I almost hope there's a medical issue requiring this, because otherwise, God knows what he was given to get out and let this criminal, this questionable patriot, this liar, this president described by one of his former top officials as the meanest man I ever met, this bigot, put in another Supreme Court justice. Make no mistake, whatever swamp creature they decide to fill this position with will be ultra-right wing and will be, as have all of their federal court appointments, very young. So the conservatives, the ultra-conservatives, the extremist conservatives on the United States Supreme Court will be ruling there for the rest of my life. For literally, Thomas is old, fairly old. He's gonna not last for the rest of my life, I hope. But the others, very possibly 40 years, the United States Supreme Court. This gives me the opportunity to remind our listeners and viewers, nobody voted for these people. Republicans have lost 6 out of the last 7 presidential election votes. And they are going to completely dominate our courts for not a generation, but a couple of generations. Who will be leading the charge on the Supreme Court? You've got Chief Justice Roberts, who blatantly perjured himself in his confirmation testimony, where he said he respected precedent, only to get onto the court and try to strike down every precedent his conservative friends didn't like, leading none other than his brethren, Antonin Scalia, to say, why don't you just admit what you're doing? Then we've got Clarence Thomas, serial sexual harasser, and the most vociferous anti-affirmative action and anti-policies to redress grievances of black people, despite being the most obvious beneficiary in the world of affirmative action. Clarence Thomas is against all affirmative action except for his own. He's against treating black people differently, except when he played the race card in order to get through his confirmation hearing. There's a class act. Then we've got Neil Gorsuch. His mommy was a criminal in the Reagan administration helping to destroy the environment. And who has absolutely no business being on the United States Supreme Court because, dare I mention, they stole the seat. Then you've got Justice Alito. I didn't have enough time to go back and look and try to remember some of the lovely things in his background. He may be the most right-wing extremist of the group. And the one who shook his head and muttered, no, not true, when Obama was saying something true about what the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United did at a State of the Union address. And then we'll add to that, whatever swamp creature, the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Federalist Society tell the president he should be putting forward. What will this mean when I talk about decades of ultra-right-wing extremist rule? Good luck, disadvantaged people. Good luck, LGBTQ community. Hello to Christian religious extremists. Good luck to all other religions. And yes, that includes my Jewish friends who don't really understand what this is going to mean. Forget protecting the average citizen. Forget government's ability to do that. The United States Supreme Court, even if we elect a Congress that has the inclination to protect citizens and advance the interests of this country, the Supreme Court will increasingly tell it cannot do so, such as through environmental enforcement. The Supreme Court will increasingly rule that it does not have the power to do that. It will support the interests of monopolists and wealthy people such as it did in the American Express ruling, where it allowed American Express to issue gag orders to all merchants in order to use American Express's services. It will promote the interests of corporations, the wealthy, the irresponsible. It will prevent lawsuits against corporate criminals. And it will take away the right of millions and millions of Americans to vote. I can't exaggerate how bad this is. You know, this past week, it so happens, was the 30-year anniversary of NASA's chief climate scientist, James Hansen, speaking in front of Congress and warning Congress about climate change, pointing out that 1988, the year he was speaking, was the hottest year on record to that point. Every year since 2000 has been hotter. As Hansen noted, it's very hard to see us fixing the climate until we fix our democracy. Well, the United States Supreme Court will make that very difficult to do. I was asked in class yesterday, when talking about the first of the awful decisions, the Muslim travel ban, what can we do about it? And I said, you better go out and vote, and you better get all your friends to go out and vote, and there needs to be a landslide. There's not going to be a big enough landslide in 2018, and we're not going to be able to fix the court system. But in 2020, 2022, if Congress becomes overwhelmingly democratic, progressive, then maybe it can overcome this to the extent possible. But I despair. So anyway, all this has been going on. The President of the United States has further shown himself to be a bigot, a disgrace as a human being. And so the big topic of the week, of course, has been Democrats' lack of civility. That's right, the big story is that Sarah the Huckster wasn't served at a restaurant. Kirstjen Nielsen was booed and heckled in a restaurant. Stephen Miller, the architect of the bigoted anti-immigration policies, was called a fascist, which, as Michelle Goldberg Riley pointed out in the New York Times this week, he probably didn't even think was a bad thing. In fact, speaking of Michelle Goldberg, she had a great column on this subject yesterday, and I think you all should take a look at it. Here are a couple of things she pointed out. I don't blame staff members of that Virginia restaurant for not wanting to help Sanders unwind after a hard week of lying to the public about mass child abuse. You know, we're having a debate in this country about whether the Democrats, liberals, progressives, your erstwhile host here, is civil enough to the other side. And they're lying to hurt people. They're bigots. They're racists. They're doing unspeakable acts. We are now equating a lack of civility with inhumanity, because that's what we're doing. We might be uncivil. They are inhumane. And it is really time that that distinction be always advanced by our media. As Michelle Goldberg also notes, faced with cruelty and degradation by the Trump presidency, liberals have not taken to marching with assault weapons and threatening civil war. We haven't called, by the way, our opponents criminals and called for them to be imprisoned. We haven't called the First Lady of the United States a murderer, as they did with Hillary Clinton. But no, we're not being civil enough, because we don't play by the same rules. Donald Trump pointed out that Democrats will not defend the country. That's civil? That's fair. Someone posted on NPR's Facebook page, Donald Trump is trying to help the Americans and the U.S. economy. Barack Obama tried to hurt us and our economy. Really? Really? And we're being uncivil. This needs to be the news story of the day, that someone told that lying, inhumane SOB, the huckster, that she wasn't welcome in their restaurant. As Michelle Goldberg finishes in her article, as long as our rulers wage war on cosmopolitan culture, they shouldn't feel entitled to its fruits. We have an empathy gap in this country, and let's address that. We have a side that is able to understand other people's pain and care for other human beings. Trump's policy of ripping children away from their parents has majority approval among Republican voters because we don't identify with the color of their skin. So I have a bit of a quiz for our staff and our viewers. We'll call it the Empathy Challenge. Who said the following? Listening to the sound of wailing children who'd been ripped from their parents' arms and separated and had no idea where their parents were. We have an orchestra here. All we need is a conductor. I know my staff all knows they're busy working. That was a United States border agent. That's right. That's apparently who we are. Who said, "I really don't care"? Do you? While visiting a child detention center. I'm sure you all know that one. That was our esteemed First Lady. Can we at least finally come to grips with the idea that saying bad things about the First Lady is no longer out of bounds? Anyone who argues that that was just a mistake, she just happened to grab for that $37 off-the-rack jacket that she had in her closet, is watching too much state TV. Who said, "womp, womp," facetiously imitating the wails of children who were suffering? That was Donald Trump's campaign chair, Corey Lewandowski. Now an unregistered lobbyist talking to Congress people. Like it or not, these aren't our kids. It's not like he's doing this to the people of Idaho or Texas. Interesting that he chose two red states for that one. Because these aren't our kids, not just because they're not American, but they're not Republican. That, of course, was one of the Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. Or, by being one of the Fox and Friends, the guy deciding U.S. policy, probably on immigration. How about analogies to Nazi Germany are an exaggeration? They, the Nazis, wouldn't let the Jews leave. And there you go. There is the distinction that the Trump administration will hang its hat on. You might know that's the Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We'll hang our hat on that one. That's right, Jeff. But take heart, Jeff. It's only less than a year and a half into the Trump presidency. What had the Nazis really accomplished in their first year and a half? Give the guy some time. Be respectful. Who called undocumented immigrants animals? Oh, right. That was the President of the United States. This is all part of a larger pattern of attacking the unfortunate. The not wealthy, the disfavored, the different. Sound familiar? Because this idea that we can't talk about fascism or Nazi Germany because that's overwrought, when do we get to the point where we actually get to act on never again? Where the similarities are just so great that it can't be ignored anymore. We bash immigrants, we pardon blatant racists. Mike Pence, the vice president, sings the praises of Joe Arpaio. Donald Trump pardons Dinesh D'Souza, a liar and a man who attacked the president of the United States when it was Obama repeatedly using racist dog whistles. Anyway, lots more of these. But we're getting to the end of the show, and I'm probably taxing your misery quotient at this point. I guess the week is kind of summed up by a New York Times headline earlier in the week. As critics assail Trump, his supporters dig in deeper. Yeah, why are you so nasty with like facts and investigations and things like that? Why facts all the time? You know, he's being so unfairly criticized. While you're at it, why didn't you talk about the nice things that Adolf Hitler did? Like, he was a dog lover. Worse, why are you making it sound like Donald Trump is so awful? You know, worse than Hitler, like he's Hillary Clinton. This is a sign of a cult. This is a sign of people where facts don't matter, and I don't know how to reach out to this. I don't know how to get these people on board. I hope, as one of my fans whom I respect said recently, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt, and I hope that these are decent people who've lost their way. But boy, we're finding out the number of not-so-decent people in this country is staggeringly large. And for the last time, just today anyway, it's not both sides. Democrats don't support extremism, even when we support the left, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We're happy to see that primary win. These are people who believe in facts and reason and arguments, and it's not the same. We have a divide in empathy. We have a divide in logic and willingness to use your intellect. Anyway, that's the end of our very depressing show today and Forward Nation Radio 2.0. Please do join us next week with Forward Nation Radio 3.0. But in the meantime, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Please do some of these things. The need to get honest and raw and accurate news out there is stronger than it ever was. Please share us with your friends. Find us on iTunes and Podbean. Visit our website. Please turn on our post notifications, and we go live on Instagram and Facebook every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I have no idea what the hell that means, but they wrote it for me. New episodes of Forward Nation Radio are out every Thursday. See you next week, and somehow I hope it's a better week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.